Am I just a tourist in my life, or am I trying to follow Jesus more closely? That was a question that confronted me on the second day of my 8-day retreat in Jerusalem. Am I just a tourist in my life as a Jesuit, as a Christian? Or am I still trying to follow Jesus more closely, love Jesus more deeply, see Jesus more plainly, as I wholeheartedly committed myself to do in the novitiate with public vows to the Society of Jesus? Following Jesus is not so easy. Praying is not so easy. Loving is not so easy. Forgiving is not so easy. Committing unconditionally forever is not so easy. Three ways of following the one God are present in the old city of Jerusalem: Muslim, Christian, and Jewish. But it's very complicated. There are many rules, restrictions, and prohibitions regarding who has access, when, and where. What is allowed? Who may pass through the city gates unimpeded, and who may not? It is very difficult to pray in the old city. Muslims are sometimes denied entry for required prayers on high holy days. Jewish women are not allowed to pray at the Wailing Wall by Jewish men. Christians are turned away from their holy sites by other Christians asserting their Christians' rights to pray at the holy sites at that particular time. Why is it so difficult to be brother and sister in the city, to get along, to pray together to the one God? Three faiths, one God, one holy city, with visible conflicts and divisions present everywhere. The guardians of the holy places are quick to say, it is not allowed. You are not allowed. Jerusalem is not a place of oneness with God. It is not a place of love. It is a place of rights and control over both persons and property. It is a place of unforgiven memories. Outside the city wall, I wondered, what would Jesus say if he was walking in the city today? How would he be received in the Muslim, the Jewish, or even the Christian quarters? What feelings would he experience? Would the outcome of his entry into Jerusalem be any different this time? Today's gospel is difficult to hear. The Catholic Church's official teaching on divorce and remarriage, the exclusion of Catholics from Holy Communion who have divorced and remarried without receiving an annulment, and the necessity of all those who wish to marry in the Catholic Church to have any previous marriages annulled, are very difficult and hard to accept for many Catholics and non-Catholics. But the Church's doctrine and actions are rooted in today's gospel, and many scripture scholars, Catholic and Protestant, believe that Mark's account is close to what Jesus actually taught. So as those seeking to be followers of Jesus, it seems important that we confront today's text and try to understand them, not to avoid them. Jewish law at the time of Jesus allowed divorce, as our gospel indicates, but only the husband had the legal right to demand it. A wife had to ask her husband to grant her divorce, and if he refused, she was obliged to remain in the marriage. However, the man could divorce his wife only if she was guilty of impropriety. At the time of Jesus, according to Joseph Martos, there were two schools of thought regarding how serious the misconduct had to be for her husband to justifiably divorce her. One school authorized divorce only for blatantly shameful behavior, while the other permitted divorce for almost anything she did that displeased her husband. Jesus' response to the Pharisees is a clear rejection of both schools of developed thought. He taught anew the call to marriage established in Genesis. He reminded them of the original vision of marriage. Male and female human beings, joined together by God inseparably with a suitable partner. So if Mark's account of Jesus' words is accurate, what are we to make of Jesus' teaching on divorce and remarriage? That God did not intend it to happen. That Jesus opposed it. And that Jesus himself saw it as falling short of the moral perfection to which he was calling people and the high expectations he had for his followers. Jesus' desires for human beings and for our communal life together, which we understand as God's desires for us, were expressed in the ideals and the high expectations he imparted by his words and actions. As recorded in the Gospels, Jesus did not speak much about marriage and divorce. He himself did not marry, and none of the 12 married after becoming his followers. So Jesus presented the vision for marriage. But by his life, he clearly demonstrated not all are called to marriage by God, nor is marriage the only way humans can find companionship or a suitable partner. Rather than focusing on Jesus' teaching on divorce and remarriage, I think it's more helpful to focus on what he was saying about a life commitment in talking about marriage. First, being alone in this world is not good for human beings. Human beings need companionship. They need suitable partners to complete God's creative activity in them. Human beings can only be formed in what they are created to be with and through others, with and through relationships and communities. Second, among the relationships and communities God has given us for our formation are marriage in the Christian community represented by Jesus and his disciples in our gospel, and by your presence here today. Complete formation, however, is not possible without a lifetime commitment to pursuing the vision and high standards established for ourselves and our shared life together through the promises and vows we make to one another. A lifetime commitment requires that we not be ashamed to call one another brother and sister when we or they fall short of the mark, when they do not hit our high expectations, as Jesus was not ashamed to call his contemporaries brothers and sisters when they fell short. And it requires that we forgive those who fall short of the call as Jesus forgave those who fell short of his call. Marriage vows express such a lifetime commitment and require such a lifetime of forgiving and never being ashamed to call one another husband and wife. Baptismal vows express a similar lifetime commitment to pursue the vision laid out in the gospel for living out our human lives in community with one another and God, and require a similar lifetime commitment to never being ashamed of calling one another brother and sister and forgiving one another endlessly. Religious vows similarly commit one to a lifetime pursuit of following Christ through the living out of the charism and the norms of their community or order. But Jesus understands and experienced the reality of the dream being shattered. While he prayed that his disciples may be one and united with God as he was united with God, he experienced the departure of Judas from their company. He experienced the dissension among them and finally the betrayal that led to his arrest. And while he may have dreamed of an alternative life of ministry and end to it, he accepted and lived to completion the one he received, having struggled himself to complete his commitment.